Morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud every day is should be a zechus for the refuah of Yosef, refuah shleima of Yosef Dovah Chayla, yishtav refuah shleima b'korah b'sar shochayli Yisrael. So, because it is Friday, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, I just want to review and sum up, and with one particular ha'ora. We went through three inyonim which relate to Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chukas. I don't know if anybody else here, is fasting today. There are some who fast today. It's called the Tanis Tzadikim. I felt like, you know, I shouldn't attach the label Tzadik to myself, so better not to fast. Tanis Tzadikim. Yeah. But there are some also who had a minig that on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas they would say the Kino, which was composed by Rameir Mirothenberg at the time of the burning of the Talmud in Paris in 1242, he composed the Kino that we say on Yom Kippur, Shali Srufa Ba'esh. Well, on Tishbov, sorry, yeah? Of Shali Srufa Ba'esh. There are some people who say that Kino today in memory of the Sifrei Torah and all the Sforim, the Talmud and the Sforim that were burnt in 1242 in Paris on Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chukas. The next thing, we then moved on 400 years and we spoke about the life and times of the Tosfos Yom Tov and how he himself was sentenced to death and that his Sforim should be burnt because he was accused of heretical teaching against the Christian nation. That was commuted later on to a fine of 12,000 ducats. I saw in one place that there was an appeal against the fine of 12,000 ducats, and it was reduced to 10,000 ducats, which was still a huge amount of money if you compare that to the tax that was levied on the entire Kehillah for the 30 years war of 40,000. So he had to pay 10,000. It took him 2 years to pay up. I heard from one of the Einiklach of the Tosfos Yom Tov that although I saw that the Nitya Gavriel brings down that the Tosfos Yom Tov said that they should commemorate this event by fasting, joining into the Tanis of Erev Shabbos Chukas, because there was a gzeira that his form should be burnt. I heard from one of the Einiklach, he said that the dates are incorrect and it's not true, that the things happened at a different time of the year, and that the Einiklach of the Tosfos Yom Tov do not fast on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas because of what happened to him, and also that when his death sentence was commuted to a fine, also the gezeira on his forum that they should be burnt was also commuted, apparently, that the word Talmud should be removed from them. So from his manuscripts, apparently, this person told me that he is an Einikel of the Tosfos Yom Tov, he's a Heller, and his father has a sefer, which was of a copy of the Madane Yom Tov, which was one of the Sforim of the Tosfos Yom Tov, where the word Talmud has been erased in every place where there's a reference to the Gemara, that's been erased, and that was sort of commuting the death sentence on the Sforim that they should be burnt to just being erased, that the word doesn't appear, but the entire sefer didn't have to be. So that was the second one. And the final one to remember from yesterday is that Reb Chaim Palagi, this is moving on another 200 years to Izmir in Turkey, that Reb Chaim Palagi, a couple of hundred years ago, writes there that he remembers from his childhood that Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas was a day of lockdown in Izmir. They didn't go out to the market, and he says all the things that you had to do for Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, were all done on Yom Hei. He doesn't say why. He says on Thursday we prepared everything that we needed for Shabbos, and on Friday we stayed at home, didn't dare venture out onto the streets. It maybe had to do with the Goyim remembering what happened on Erev Shabbos Chukas, I don't know. In Paris, maybe, I don't know. He doesn't write there the reason for it, and I looked around, I couldn't find it, but he clearly says, so we've got three events on Erev Shabbos Chukas, just to remember the day, that the day shouldn't pass by without us remembering that the day itself has a great significance for us.
It was a big fire. It is, there was a big fire in 1841, 12,000. What? Today was fire. There are fires in Izmir today. Yes, yeah, there are forest fires in Izmir. In 1841, there was a fire in Izmir, in the town, and 12,000 houses were burnt down, including all the kisveyat of the Rukhaim Palaji, and he was able to reconstruct from memory 52 sforim after the fire.
Started editorial in Northwest London, Friday, Chesed Tammuz, 4th of July. Rabbi Eli Pick, Shlita Poro Adumo. This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Frankel, Lechvatzim Chanasun of Binyamin Frankelneri and Fegi Khan Shetichia. Chasa took place on Wednesday. Yi Rotzen Shivin Baz Timur V'Yisrael Hashem L'Yisrael V'Yisrael Hashavuim V'Achayolim V'Milchamo Shachzru L'Votem L'Shalom V'Mheiro.
Amen.
V'Yishus Kol HaKol HaKadosh Hazeh. There are some mitzvahs we understand, and there are some mitzvahs we don't understand. Some mitzvahs the Torah gives a reason for, like sukkah, the man yeshu darasechim, the sukkah sashavti. And we have a mitzvah, this week's parsha, which we don't understand, and that is Porah Adumo. When I used to think about emunah in my teenage years, I used to see it as a siddur on the table with some of it hanging over the edge. So that if 51% of the siddur is on the table, the rest does not fall down because it's supported by the remainder. So that's how I envisaged emunah. Emunah being, look, there's some things we understand and some things we don't, but because I've got 51% which is holding up the rest, then the rest won't fall down. And then as I got older, I realized that really this is not the correct parable, because if we are given mitzvahs by Hashem to comply with, whether or not we understand the reasons, then our emunah should be complete, and that the siddur is being held up completely on the table, and that nothing of it would be able to fall down, because Hashem said, Gazarti, this is what I told you to do, and we have our emunah. But if we've got true emunah and bitachon, then really, this siddur would not be on the table at all. It would have nothing underneath it. It would have invisible wires, or visible wires hanging from above like a puppet on a string. Because if we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shamay mimal, then we don't need any logic in the human sense to understand what we're doing. Because everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've got full emunah and trust in him, and therefore we don't need logic, we don't need rational Judaism, because our emunah is strong enough to believe that whatever he told us to do, we should do without question. So in this week's parsha, Rashi says, "Zoschuk asatara, the fisha sotan umas olam monis Yisrael lema." The peoples of the world, the sotan, they are mocking us. Ma mitzvah zos? What is this mitzvah you're talking about with Porah Aduma? Uma tam yeshba? What reason has it got? Lefichah kasaba chukah. It's described as a chukah, a statute. Gezeirohi milipneish la'ein l'chol reshus l'harach areho. You haven't got any permission to think about it, to debate it, to understand it. Ein reshus. So that Gemara Yuma Samach Zayin. So if we've got no permission to try and debate it and understand it, then I'm afraid the shiur has to stop here. But let's carry on and decide whether there's anything more we can learn about it. Certainly, the Rashi in this week's parsha does refer to someone called Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, and this is in Tachuma Ches, who does give a reason. He gives a reason for Porah Aduma. He says it's an atonement for the golden calf, for the Egel Azov. So we might think that there is some logic to Porah Aduma because we have a reason given by Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan to atone, but there are various rules relating to Porah Aduma which are still nevertheless difficult to understand. And Shlomo HaMelech was so perplexed about this, he investigated Porah Aduma and he said it remains a mystery. Bamidbar Rabba, Yudtes Gimel. It's not just the concept of bringing a red heifer. It's the fact that it's Matameh the Torah and the Matayah the Tomeh. Those who are pure become impure, those who are impure become pure. There's the idea of the cedar, the eight eras, the azov, the hyssop, the shnisolas, the scarlet wool, la shelolah, oh, that there was no yoke on it, right? But the fact that it's red, that if there are two black hairs, then it's posel. And there are questions, halakhic questions about who can start performing it, Who is Tara to start with? Some say that Elio Hanovi will bring ashes from the previous Paraduma to start off the situation. But it's full of apparent anomalies and contradictions. So however much we might appreciate Rashi's attempt to bring Rabbi Moshe Hadashin, it's difficult. The Sefer HaChinuch says, I've always tried to explain the reasons for the mitzvahs. For the benefit of my children, I thought, give them the reasons, it makes the Torah more geschmack. But in this case, my hand is weak, and he says, I'm afraid to open my mouth. Sefer HaChinuch Shin Tzadi Zayin. That is the mitzvah of Paraduma. So that is Chukah. But why is it called Chukas HaTorah? There are lots of Mepharshim which ask this question, Zos Chukas HaTorah. Surely it should say Zos Chukas Paraduma. Just like we have in Parshas Bo Yud Beis Gimel, it says Zos Chukas HaPosach. That is about the Korban Pesach. And here, we're talking about the Paraduma. Let's call a spade a spade. Why does it have to say Zos Chukas HaTorah? It does in fact say Zos Chukas HaTorah in Parshas Matos as well, in connection with kashering of Kalim. So there's a clue there. We're talking then about the Tumah of Kalim, and we're talking here about the Tumah of people. So you've got a common denominator. And Tahara is obviously the key fundamental issue in Avodas Hashem. Okay, so there is Mephoroshim which struggle with this idea of Zos Chukas HaTorah. The Arachaim says it makes us distinct because a guy cannot be Tomei Mace. So Al Yidei Shekibalnu HaTorah, because we receive the Torah, Nasu Kedusha Elyona, we get that extra Kedusha and we don't get that Tumah. So that is the difference between being a Yid and not being a Yid, and therefore it's Zos Chukas HaTorah. And the Sfas Emes alludes to the Parsha last week after Korach, Ki Cholo Eidah Kulam Kedoshim, and the way that we are becoming Kedoshim, we bring in this week's Parsha. Nevertheless, there's something which must be more deep to this to decide whether this should be called Zos Chukas HaTorah. But we got some other questions as well. Why is this Parsha here in Parshas Chukas? Surely it belongs to Sefer Vayikra. In Vayikra we're talking about Korbonos, we're talking about Tuma, we're talking about Tahara. But Midbar is essentially narratives, you know. You've got the Misonanim, you've got the Mekoshes, you've got the Meraglim, you've got Korach, you've got Bilom and Midyom and the Masos. But Midbar is essentially the stories about Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. Why do we have to bring the halacha here about Paraduma? What is its place in Parshas Chukas? I bring another question. And that is this. In the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, it talks about the famous story of Doma ben Nesino. Doma ben Nesino was rewarded with a Pora Aduma. So as we know, the rabbis wanted to buy a special precious stone, which was in fact the Yoshfei, which is one of the stones alluding to Shevet Binyamin. The Yushami says it was for the Choshen, and that stone was priceless. It was worth a lot of money. So they come to him and they offer him enormous sum of money and he refuses. Why? Because the key for the shop is under his father's pillow and his father was fast asleep. So says the Gemara, Bo minei Rabbi Ula, ad heichon kibud avayim. How far does this mitzvah go to honoring one's parents? Om alahem, se'u aru ma'ason nochri echod. This guy, he was not Jewish. And here was it was in Ashkelon, V'doma ben Nesino Shemo. Pam achas bikshu chachomim prakmatia b'shishim rivoy. 600,000 gold dinarim, sechar. According to Rav Kahana in the Gemara, it was 800,000 gold coins. I mean, can you imagine? You can retire on that. And the key was under his father's pillow. And he would not disturb him, he would not wake him up. So he was given a Pora Aduma as a reward. According to the Rishalmi, there's a slight variation of the story that after they upped the price more and more to try and convince him, then his father woke up by himself without being woken up. Because in the Gemara, Dom on the Sina says, look, I'm not going to charge you the price which you offered most recently. I'll offer you the original price. And this was when his father had woken up by himself. But either way, he says, I know you'll pay me a lot of money. You'll pay me all the money in the world, but I'll only ask for what I lost due to honoring my father. So Rabbi Chanina says, wow, mitzvah of Oseh
If you're going to do a mitzvah, then you perform it, you get a reward. But if you're not commanded to do a mitzvah, so here is somebody who's not Jewish, who's doing a mitzvah of kibbutz of aim, although some will say that under the Sheva mitzvah Smei Nach, there are also the mitzvah sichlias, which God should keep. But the mitzvah of kibbutz of aim does not apply to Domo ben Nesina. He's not Jewish. And so Gemara says, so how much reward would be if you're honoring your parents when such a challenge comes up? So the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward him with a Parah Aduma? What is the logic of giving him a Parah Aduma? All right, it's a valuable item and it fetches a very high price, but why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just let him win the National Lottery jackpot? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just let him have a Ferrari or Lamborghini or one of these exotic things which are so expensive, which people do like to use? What is the connection? What is the connection between the idea of kibbutz of aim, honoring parents, and the Parah Aduma? So the Ben Yehoyada says in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph, he says, well, it's a question of squandering money for kibbutz of aim. He was giving up, surrendering money, which for him was the most logical thing to do, and it is a logical thing to do because kibbutz of aim is a logical mitzvah. And here, spending money on a red cow is not logical, and so they scoff. So you've got a contrast there. You've got the extremes. You've got the most logical mitzvah in the Torah, kibbutz of aim, because your parents look after you, they change your nappies, they do your shopping, they educate you, they bring you up, right? Tzar gidol bonim. So of course it's logical to honor parents. And here you've got a mitzvah which has no logic at all. But while we're on this subject of Domo ben Nesina, there's another question. We can understand his motives of wanting to honor his parents, but did he really do the right thing? Did he do the right thing by saying, I'm not going to wake up my father? Now you tell me, if you run a business, all right, you've got a jewelry business and you've got this really precious stone, you got this key under your pillow, and a customer comes to the door which can give you a lifetime of income, you would say to your son, why didn't you wake me up? You knew I would have wanted to do a deal like this. So did he really do the right thing? So in Borevach La'oviv, let's now quote from the Sefer Chassidim, which is brought down by the Aruch HaShulchan in Simon Reish Mem, Sif Mem, the Sefer Chassidim is Simon Shin Lamed Zayin, in Borevach La'oviv and Nifsad Oviv, if an opportunity comes for financial profit and his father would lose out, and if he's not woken up, his father would feel troubled. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you wake me up? You know that your father will want to be woken up. So why didn't he wake him up? Says the Sefer Chassidim, mitzvah l'hakitzo. It's a mitzvah to wake up your father. Not just that it's mutter, not just that it's allowed. It's a mitzvah to wake him up. So for why, for goodness sake, didn't he wake him up? His father would be happy. Similarly, if your father is destined to go to shul, you know he wants to go to shul, and he's sleeping, then you can wake him up and say, Dad, it's time to daven. Ola devar mitzvah, or for any mitzvah. If your father says, you know, I want to go to such and such a shir, then you wake him up. And that is a mitzvah to wake him up, not just that it's not forbidden. Yeah?
The diamond belonged to David ben Messina. It didn't belong to his father. The father had the key under the pillow, but the diamond belonged to David ben Messina.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because it's mashma from the Sefer Chassidim, yeah, that it was the son's business and not the father's business, if you look at the way he words it. And if it would be for the son's business, then the son is not allowed to wake him up. Yeah. But if it's the father's business, he is. But Pashtus of the words of Sefer Chassidim, it's not, or from the Gemara, it's not like that. The Gemara doesn't actually specify that it was the son's business. It implies, I mean, if it's your business, you sleep with a key under your pillow. If it's your son's business, would you sleep with a key under your pillow? So, now anyway, okay, you can say about Domo ben Nesina, look, there was no Sefer Chassidim, there was no Aruch HaShulchan, there was no prescribed halacha. The fellow wasn't even Jewish. You wouldn't expect him to be learning the halachas. So surely, he would have wanted to be woken up, but it's a no-brainer. So even if you don't have the code of Jewish law, so to speak, to guide you, didn't Domo ben Nesina really do the right thing? Now, we asked about the timing and the parsha we have of Chukas, not being in Vayikra, whereas it sounds like the mitzvah of Paraduma was only given now. But in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Vav talks about the mitzvah of Paraduma being given at Morah. At Morah, where some mitzvahs were given, and there are the Sheva mitzvahs by Noach, the mitzvah of Shabbos, Dinim, having law courts, Kibbud Avaim, and Paraduma. And that was before the Egel Azov, by the way. So Rabbi Moshe Hadashin's Svara about that it was a kapora for the Egel, the mitzvah was already known about and given before. All right, you'd say, Ein Mukta Mamukha Batara, the refuah comes before the Makkah. But the mitzvah came before, and in Beshalach, where it says, Shom Som Lo Chok, Chokim Ishpot, Shom Niso, there Rashi says, Bamora Nosanem Mixas Parshias Shel Torah, Shis Asku Bohem, that they will be busy with, interesting phrase, Shabbos Pora Aduma Vedinim, brings down from the Mechilta. So, and not only that, but if you look also at Rashi in Mishpotim, there in Chaf Dalad Gimel, it says, Sheva Mitzvos Beinach, Shabbos Kibudav, Paraduma Vedinin. It says both, interestingly, both Paraduma and Kibudav, because according to a certain well-known Perush, it claims there was a misprint, and that it didn't really mean Paraduma, but it meant Kibudav. But Rashi obviously was not referred to by that Perush, because Rashi lists both, Kibudav and Paraduma. So, they were given early on. Why now, only later on in the Parshas Chukas? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in his Emes Liakov, he says that we, being given the Torah, are prepared to do all the mitzvahs which Hashem gives us, even if some of them we don't understand why, because they are the rotz and habore. So paraduma, gozarti gezeira, fine. But here we have an institute, it's given to Nemro Parshazu Beshvil Achnis, the Kabbalah HaTorah, or the Horoslam Ki HaTorah, the Malam Misichlenu, or Mehavanoseinu. So he says, this Parsha is given to us to bring us Kabbalah HaTorah, to teach that the Torah is above our Seichel, it's above human logic. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Darash Moshe, Lelameh Al Kol HaTorah, Bein al Daron Shein Shaykh Leidata, whether or not you know the reasons, Bein al Daron Shetamon Poshut, Mikol Mokom, Tzorich Lelamdom Kechukim. That means all the Torah you should learn as though they are Chukim. Below Tam, without a reason. Eloka Gezeras Hamokom, like we said at the beginning, that we have something's understood, something not understood, but everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, suspended with like the puppet on the string, that we have it from above, and therefore there is no question. And that not only is that we don't question the paraduma, but even those mitzvahs which we have a reason for, okay, very nice, it makes it easier, makes it more geschmack, but that's not necessarily the real reason. The real reason is because it's a gezerah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the problem is when the Torah does give a reason, a person might say, well, that reason doesn't apply to me. And who was this said about? Shlomo HaMelech himself. Lo yarbe lo noshim. A king may not have many wives. Because why? It will turn his heart astray. So he says, oh, my heart won't turn astray. I can have many wives. Well, I think one is expensive enough. But nevertheless, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph, the reason is not determining the din. The Torah gives a reason maybe to make you appreciate it better, but that has no bearing on actually doing the halacha lemaisa. And we found, in last week's parsha, the idea of rational Judaism coming into Korach's head. Why? Because Korach said, look, you know, if I've got a blue wool talis, what do I need techeles for? It's not logical to have techeles. Or if you've got a room full of Sifrei Torah, why do I need to have a mezuzah? It's not logical. Korach's mistake was that he applied reason. Now, it's very tempting because, you know, it makes you appreciate your emunah much more when you've got reason. But nevertheless, you have to learn the whole Torah like the Pora Adumo. Because whatever reasons you have when it comes to human logic does not come into it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rationale is different to our own. And the mistake of Korach was to apply reason, rationale, democracy. And that is why our Parsha this week follows the Parsha of Korach. That those who start using so-called logic, you get the dangers of the reform saying, well, this doesn't apply to us, the reason isn't relevant anymore, and so on. So therefore, your seichel can't be a guide. You know, if the Torah says, you may not murder, we all know the reason why you may not murder. It's seichel, right? But when you are sitting in this Beis HaMidrash right now, are you really performing the mitzvah of lo tirtzach, you may not murder? No. It's only when you've got that temptation, when you have a reason to kill somebody, and you might have every good reason in the world, then the Torah is saying, do not murder. I remember in yeshiva days, we used to hitchhike a lot to Gateshead. It's not the fashion anymore, it's dangerous as well. But I remember chatting with a lorry driver who gave me a lift. And I asked him, you know, why is it that you hear so many stories about hitchhikers, especially women? He said, it's quite simple. He said he had a colleague who picked up a lady, who gave him an ultimatum: if you don't give me a huge sum of money, then I will say that you've done this and that to me. So what does the lorry driver think to himself? He says, logically, he says, I've got to get rid of her. And then problem is solved. So he pushes her out and kills her. Problem solved. But the Torah is saying, do not murder. It's when you're tempted to do it. And then it's the same with theft. It's logical that you may not steal. But what was the whole attitude of Robin Hood? He felt that it was the right logical thing to steal from the rich and to give it to the poor. After all, the poor haven't got. The rich have, so let's take away from the rich and give it to the poor. A lesson for Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor of the Exchequer. If stealing is a din, even if you've got every good reason and rationale in the world to steal, you don't do it. Why should I pay taxes? Okay, but it's stealing if you are not doing what you are meant to do, or it won't go down the road now, So Rav Chaim Shmulevitch writes, says, you see how a person treats the chukim. You watch how a person treats the chukim, and then you will know whether he's got proper emun Hashem in the way he does all his mitzvahs, and not just the chukim. Because otherwise, it might be simply his own personal agenda. I mean, what about Hilchos Shabbos? Logically, right, I should not have to be able to carry a heavy armchair up the stairs, but I'm not allowed to flick a light switch. Is that logical? You have to learn the halachas and do what the halachas are saying to understand what is allowed and what is not allowed on Shabbos. It's not dependent on human intellect. It's dependent on what the halacha says. So back to our questions. We asked, why does it say chukas ha-Torah? So to teach us that all the mitzvahs are ratzon Hashem, all of the mitzvahs are treated like chukim, disregarding the reasons given. And that is why already early on in Beshalach and in Mishpotim we have an allusion to the Paraduma. Why? To tell us about the Chukas HaTorah and not something which is necessarily a kapora for the Egel Azov. We ask the question of why is this parsha here? And to teach that after Korach, that the Torah is not built on human reason but on Hashem's reason. Thirdly, we ask, why was Domer ben Messina rewarded with the Porah Aduma? To show that not only do we keep the most logical mitzvahs, honouring a parent is the most logical mitzvah, but in contrast, we have to keep the most illogical mitzvahs. And that is why, to teach us, Klal Yisrael, the importance of Kibud Av V'Em and the Chukim, we've got the contrast of those two mitzvahs. And then we asked about Domer ben Messina, that his father should have been woken up. But to show that Domer ben Messina did not have the Torah to guide him. He was using his own human logic experience, because when he wasn't Jewish, you can't blame the guy. But nevertheless, there is this expression that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. He meant it well. He did not want to wake up his father. All right, everything turned out okay in the end. But nevertheless, without Das Torah, we could never be doing exactly the right thing. We have to have that. However much our human logic decides, oh well, it's common sense, I can decide for myself, I don't have to ask a shaila to the Rav, I can understand these things for myself. But then, if you apply human logic before the halacha, then you don't succeed. So Chazal praised Domer ben Messina. Of course, he did a wonderful thing. He was called one of the Tzaddikei Umos HaOlam. But halachically, if a Yid has such a challenge, then maybe what was being done was wrong, assuming that it was the father's business and not the son's business. Somebody who's not Jewish, without the Torah, uses his own form of logic. And I've experienced meeting many kind people who are Gentiles, wonderful people, considerate people, courteous people, but they don't have the Torah to guide them and to make the right decisions. One cannot go wrong if a person follows the Derech HaTorah, as it says, Ki b'soras Hashem cheftzo v'soroso yega yomam v'loilo. If you stick to the Torah and not to human logic, then you will succeed. Thank you.
So why was he rewarded the power
to teach the world, to teach us, that just like you go out of your way to do what's logical, you also have to teach Klal Yisrael, you have to do out of the way to do what's not logical. So that the contrast is really a comparison to say you have to fulfill both of them.
Very nice, very, 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 very beautiful. Yes. I used to hitchhike as well. I almost got one lift from the round, from the roundabout.
Yeah.
To Golders Green. Yeah. Sunday morning, 2 o'clock.
Yeah. I once had a Rolls Royce stopping for me.
Huh?
I once had a Rolls Royce stopping.
A voice I did, he's not here, and I didn't know, so I'll just tell you over briefly what for me is one of my favourite Divrei Torah on the Torah. The vault comes from, I heard it, B'Shem Remeir Shapira, the Lublin Rov, who was the founder of Daf Hayomi. And the vault that I heard was as follows, that Rashi says, Rebbeli just mentioned, that the Visha Umas Oilam Moinim Es Yisrael, that the Umas Oilam, that's the Soton, right, they mock us. And they say, Ma HaMitzvah HaZois, what is this mitzvah? Umatam Yeshbo, and what's the reason for it? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back, Gezeira hi melefonai. It is a gezeira, it is my decree. Ve'ein lecho reshus lahara achreho, and you're not allowed to think about it. And he asked a number of questions. He said, first of all, he said, the way Rashi brings this Dvar Torah, there are two questions. Ma hamitzvah zois, what is this mitzvah? Umatam Yeshbo, and what's the reason for it? Well, there are two questions which actually say the same thing. Well, why does he bring it as if it's two questions? And then the answer comes back, Gezeiro himilofonai, it is a decree, ve'en lechorashus lahara achreo, and therefore you shouldn't really delve into it. Don't think about it, it's a decree. Again, two expressions. It's like two questions and two answers. And of course, the final question is, that ein lechorashus lahara achareo, we think about the mitzvahs all the time. What do we do all day when we learn? We're thinking about the tamei hamitzvah. We're trying to learn the dinim and the reasons, etc. What does it mean ein lechorashus lahara achareo? He says as follows. He says there is a vort which I think comes from one of the Belzer Rebbes, which says as follows. V'hoseh soton milfoneinu umeacharenu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day to remove the soton from before us and from after us. So what does it mean, before us and from after us? Which is the Sotn Milfoneinu and the Sotn Me'achareinu? So he says there is a Sotn that comes to you before a mitzvah, and there's a Sotn that comes to you after a mitzvah. The Sotn that comes to you before you're about to perform a mitzvah, he comes to you with all sorts of eitzes as to why you shouldn't perform the mitzvah. Either sforadika eitzes or personal things, there's a reason why he'll come up with anything in order to try and prevent you from doing that mitzvah. And you get into a milchemes hayetzer. The yetzer hara is trying to influence you not to do the mitzvah. Your yetzer hatov is trying to incline you towards the mitzvah. There's a milchoma. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. If you lose, you've done the aveira. That's the soton milfoneinu, the soton before the mitzvah. What happens if you win? If you win, and therefore you didn't do the aveira. You're about to do an aveira, and then the Sotan came along, he tried to persuade you to do the Avera, but you conquered, you won, you withstood the trial, and you managed to get through it. Then the Sotan is going to try one last ditch effort, right, to achieve something out of the disaster. He wanted you not to do the mitzvah, but you did it anyway. Now, has he lost the battle? He's trying to salvage something out of the situation. So he starts making you into a Baal Gaiva. He says, do you know what? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim in heaven, they're so impressed with you. You're such a tzaddik. You managed to overcome all the temptations and all the efforts that I made in order to prevent you from doing the mitzvah. Yeah? And yet, you overcome all that and you withstood all everything that I tried to do. You didn't succeed. I didn't succeed and you won. You're such a tzaddik. You're such a chosid. In heaven, the malachim are dancing and singing your praise. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chalking up so much sukkos for you, etc. Trying to make you into a Baal Gaiva to make you feel good. So he says, the Sotah Milfonein was trying to prevent you. But if you overcome, then the Sotah Me'achareinu comes along and at least tries to salvage something out of the situation by making you into a Baal Gaiva. So he says, now let's go back to our Rashi. He says, Rashi says that they come along, the Sotah Milfonenu, before you do the mitzvah, the Sotah comes along and he says, Ma ha-mitzvah hazois. He says, what is this mitzvah? Why are you doing it? Yeah, umatam yeshbo. He says, and what reason do you have that you might want to do the mitzvah? He's trying everything that he can to prevent you from doing the mitzvah. Yeah, he doesn't want you to do the mitzvah. He wants you to do the avera. And therefore, he says, there's no logic behind it. It doesn't make any sense. Why should you be doing it? And the answer to him is as follows. He says, before the mitzvah. Yeah, before you did the mitzvah, he says, Maha mitzvah zois. Why are you doing it? It doesn't make any sense. It's a choik, it's what's called. He says, but afterwards, if you did it, in other words, you didn't do the avera, or you did the mitzvah, he comes along and he says, oh, ma tam yeshbo. It's so geschmack. In heaven, they're so happy with you. They're dancing, the malachim are making a rikida in order to celebrate you. So before the mitzvah, he says, Maha mitzvah zois, don't do it. Afterwards, at least to salvage the situation, matam yeshbo. It's so geschmack. They're so pleased with you. You did such a wonderful thing. You're such a great person. You'll go straight to heaven. You'll be, you'll have a halo in heaven. That's ma mitzvah zois. And then afterwards, so he says the answer to both of them is as follows: gezeira hi milafonai. When you're before the mitzvah, then you have to say back when he says ma mitzvah zois. Before the mitzvah, you have to say to him, Gezerohi. It's a decree. The Rabbi Nishlam said, I have to do it. I have no choice whether it makes sense or whether it's not. Afterwards, he's trying to make you into Baal Gaiva. He says, having done the mitzvah or having not done the Avera, don't think back about it. Don't start reflecting on it. Don't get involved in whether or not you're a big tzaddik or a little tzaddik, whether you've done avera, whether you've got a lot of schar or no schar whatsoever. So the two kashas are before and after the mitzvah, and the two answers are also before and after the mitzvah. The answer to maha mitzvah zois beforehand is gezerahim melefonai, and the answer to after the mitzvah when he says how geshmak and he says matam yeshbo, you say ein lechorishus lahara achareho. I've done what I've done. I'm not thinking back. Don't make me into a Baal Gaiva.
Very good.
It's good. Very nice.
It's good to you. Thank you.
You want to get $1 million, Yeshiva? You want to get a little bit of, you know, what a good idea. You want to get people together.